Good evening. I'd like to start in what seems to be a strange place, the history of English linguistics. English is a language that has roots in Anglo-Saxon and in French. What do you call an ordinary building in which a small ordinary family lives? A house. What do you call a large, elaborate building in which a wealthy family or a noble family lives? A mansion. Because the Anglo-Saxons who lost the Battle of Hastings lived in Das Haus, and the French who'd won it lived in La Mans. The animal that says moo is called a cow, because the people who tended the animals were Anglo-Saxons, and they called it Das Kuh. But on the plate, it's called beef, because the French ate the animal and it was called le bœuf, and so on. So all of our fancy, elaborate, elegant words come from the French, whereas our ordinary, everyday, you and me words come from the Anglo-Saxon. Well, this has affected the translation of this gospel. They laid him in a manger. Manger, French word, manger. Anglo-Saxon, feed box. They call it a manger because it sounds nicer in French. What it means is a feed box. And that's what Christmas is about. It's not about a manger. It's about a feed box. It's about ordinariness, about reality of humanity. We succumb to the temptation ourselves. When we do a nativity scene, what does it look like? Look at this one. It's beautiful. I love it. I've always loved it. But with the trees and the star floating of it, there's a real great work of art done by one of our own people, and the field of poinsettias above and below, and the family so nice, so carefully crafted, the animals all surrounding the infant in this perfect bed of straw. It's made to look heavenly. It probably didn't. It was a stable. It probably smelled like a stable. You ever been in a stable? It's not the most pleasant of smells. And he was laid in a feed box. The ox and the ass may, by miracle, have given adoration to the newborn infant, but it probably did not retroactively affect their table manners. Their feed box was probably full of wet, sloppy straw. It's in that the infant was laid, because there was no room for him in the inn. And that's the reality of the incarnation. Jesus didn't take on some pseudo-human nature, some plaster saint or pretty picture human nature. Jesus was not the divine mind dwelling in a human body. Jesus was, as our tradition has always taught, fully human as well as fully divine. He was born an infant in most unfortunate circumstances. Family that couldn't even get into the inn. They said there was no room. It's probably because Joseph couldn't afford it. And the dream in Matthew, I mean, if it happened today, you know how it would be translated? And the angel appeared to him and said, Jose, take your wife Maria and your son Jesus and flee, for ICE is looking for you to deport him. They were towards the bottom of the social structure. And he was laid in a manger. He shared in our humanity in its fullness from the beginning and all the way through to the end. His mother wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a feed box. And at the other end of his life, Joseph of Arimathea wrapped him in linen and laid him in a stone-cold tomb. From birth to death, he chose to be one of us. And that's the glory of it. That's the wonder of it. He has become not a prettified image of humanity, but real, messy, dirty, smelly, just like you and me, humanity. He has taken on the fullness of who we are, who we really are, all its best and all its worst and everything in between except sin itself. He has taken on. He has become a part of. He has shared in the fullness of our humanity. And as the fathers of the church never tired of saying, He became who we are so that we may become who He is. He shared in the fullness of our humanity so that we might share in the fullness of His divinity. We normally don't dare to believe in either of those things. We say we believe them, but we cut them short a bit because it seems too outrageous. But it's true. He really became a full sharer in our real humanity. And He invites us, enables us to become full sharers in His real divinity. As He has become totally one with us, He gives us the chance to let Him make us totally one with the one whom He calls Abba. And that's the beauty and the wonder of it. I'm not asking you to take away the prettiness of the nativity scene. I wouldn't change ours for the world. But when you look at it, remember that it's a little cleaned up for contemporary artistic purposes. That it's the reality of our humanity that Jesus really shared, and the reality of His divinity that He really offers us. And that is the Christmas present that you really want under your tree. Sisters and brothers, Merry Christmas.